how could it be that the eternal Son, the one whom all things were created through, how could it be that he could die for the sins of mankind? Mankind broke the relationship that they had with God there in the garden, and therefore mankind is called to make it right. But God in the garden promises Eve that she would have a seed who would come and crush that serpent's head. So we see a future man would come. And in verse 14, of Hebrews chapter 2, the author of Hebrews explains how this works for us. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. Jesus came and partook in the flesh and blood. This carries the meaning that he took on something not natural to himself. We naturally share in flesh and blood, but Jesus, the eternal Son of God, took upon himself, partook of this flesh and blood, and he died. Let that sink in for a moment. The eternal Creator, the one whom all things are created through and for, the one who never had suffering or pain there in heaven. He never thirsted, he never hungered, he never grew tired. God does not sleep nor slumber. He took on human flesh, was born in a manger, laid in a manger, born in a stall of animals. And then he allowed himself to be humiliated and hung upon a cross, naked and shamed, and died. Even worse than that, he took the wrath of God upon his shoulders on our behalf. So he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through his death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And he might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. So why did Jesus die? To render powerless Satan and death, and to free those who are slaves to the fear of death, that is, mankind, to take God's wrath upon himself. This is not teaching that Jesus bought us from Satan, or that he bought us out of our sin and took upon himself God's wrath on our behalf. Verse 16, for assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. So Jesus came to help mankind, not angels, who are ministers to those who will inherit eternal life through Christ the Savior. He's just again emphasizing Jesus's greatness above angels, and in the fact that as he became a human, he came to die for humans. What a wonderful and glorious truth that we get to taste of this salvation. Those angels which rebelled with Satan were cast out of heaven, and they were never given another chance, as recorded for us in Scripture. Yet for us, we are forgiven. We are offered forgiveness in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, who took on human flesh for us and died. Verse 17, therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things. The second main point in this passage now turns to the way in which Christ was able to die for mankind. This is because he became mankind so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God. The purpose of the incarnation is that Christ becomes merciful and understanding. He is a faithful high priest, and he came as that high priest who is able to be merciful, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. His propitiation is the sacrificing and shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of sins and the appeasement of God's judgment on that sin. His propitiation is also final and perfect, signified by him taking a seat at the right hand of God, as we saw earlier on in Hebrews. Another aspect of Christ being our priest is the fact that he is continually interceding for man as priest. This leads us into our next point, verse 18. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered. Jesus himself was tempted. He had disciples who never seemed to get it, yet he was patient. He experienced the pain of lost loved ones, and yet he persevered. He experienced the rejection of family, not believing him, and yet he loved them. He experienced the misery of being mocked, yet he endured. He experienced the agony of being beaten and tortured to death, and yet he cried out forgiveness from his cross. He is able to come, therefore, to the aid of those who are tempted. Jesus is ready, therefore, to come to the aid of those who need help and are tempted. He understands what we go through here on earth because he himself went through it. Jesus is not just waiting for you to mess up. He's not looking down at us as an angry, impatient individual, leaving us on our own to fight sin and temptation. Rather, Jesus is lovingly ready to come to our aid and salvation and freely give you forgiveness of sins. He's also ready to come to the aid of those who are tempted to sin, which is all of us. Therefore, when you feel the pull of the world, when you feel the strings of your heart being tempted to sin, when you feel a competition of your affections between having affection for God and affection for the things of this world, when you feel the flesh tugging for you to make the wrong decision, call out to Jesus. He's ready to come to your aid. The very one who made you and all the world, the very one who fasted for 40 days and rejected the temptation which Satan brought, the very one who resisted all temptation further than any other human being and never once sinned, he's ready to come to your aid and give you mercy and grace to sustain you and help you. That is our Savior. That is the author of our salvation. So run to him. He took on human flesh so that he could be a merciful high priest who would make propitiation, to make appeasement of God's wrath, which we deserved. He took it upon his own shoulders, and he's ready to answer your prayers for strength and help from him.